This is the Demon Plague.
How is everyone doing? Welcome to the Demon Plague. My name is James Intricasso. I go by he, him. It is awesome to have you all here with us today. And I am going to throw it on over to first our guest who is joining us this week. Noelle, tell us who you are, a little about what you do in the world of tabletop role-playing games, and we'll introduce your character once we actually get started playing.
I'm Noelle Cherie. I am a player and the editor for Dames and Dragons, the podcast, which is a very silly venture, but also full of just teen feelings, so...
Yes, it is an excellent, excellent podcast right here on Don't Split the Podcast Network that people should check out. Last time on the Demon Plague, you all are in the Demon Plague dungeon. You are attempting to unlock the cell of Zancrown, the plague demon, who has sent the plague out from his cell into the Luna Valley. Now, of course, the risk associated with this is that if you unlock his cell and fail to destroy him, you have released him upon the entire world. Ooh. Now, to unlock that cell, you need to get 5 keys that are hidden among different factions here in the dungeon. These factions are devils and undead that are meant to keep Zancrown locked up. They are the guardians, but there's a lot of infighting among them themselves. So that is where we had left things. You had talked to almost all of the faction leaders, except for one. Many of the faction leaders wanted you to engage in backstabbing or that sort of thing, killing essentially faction leaders for them and getting things taken care of so that they could be the ruling faction, as it were, here in the Demon Plague dungeon. But there was one faction leader you still had not spoken to, and that faction leader, of course, is Baobab. Baobab, who is the leader of the newest faction here in the Demon Plague dungeon, made up of souls that have died recently in the Luna Valley. With all of that in mind, you were going through the new wing of the dungeon where this faction resides. You faced a few hazards and challenges, and then you came into a room where you saw what could be perhaps prophetic visions of the Demon Plague taking over various pieces of your life and world. You saw all your loved ones you knew dying and turning into Valok, the end result of the Demon Plague, these horrible, basically uber zombies walking around. And after all of those visions had cleared, you saw a celestial figure before you. And Noelle, why don't you describe this figure for everyone?
She's just very tall for, you know, humanoid. She has long black hair and silver eyes, and she smiles when you walk in kind of hazily and says, "Welcome, travelers."
Oh, hi.
And you, before you, see this party of adventurers, two humans, one who is wearing a shirt at the moment. Does Rain put on the shirt after he rips it off?
Yeah, when meeting someone new, it's, you know, you want to be a little formal.
I don't know if she's hot enough. Maybe the shirt stays off.
I don't need to depend on the muscles to attract the ladies. So I have a great personality, too. Let's start with that.
So you notice them. You notice a small, older half-orc woman. Who is there? I wouldn't go so far as to say elderly, but I would say older than middle-aged.
She could be a grandma.
She could be a grandma. But
just barely. She smells like a grandma, though.
Yeah. She could be a grandma with upwards of 170 hit points is what she looks like.
The buffest of grandmas.
The buffest of grandmas. And last, but certainly not least, there is a person who looks like a bird, you know, a bird humanoid with rock, ROC coloring, and she is about the same height as the half-orc. They both stand at about 5 feet tall. That is what you see before you. You, of course, recognize these heroes as the aforementioned Rain, Rock, Torsten, and Isabel.
The high angel lady.
Hi.
This was not what I expected when we came in here.
There was usually more like death and killing.
Yes.
There will be plenty of death and killing to go around. And then she just turns to go, like gesturing for you guys to follow.
Excellent. Yes. So in this room where you all are, there are two doors. There's the door that you came in through, and then there is a door, the one that you are gesturing to, is this door that is opposite the door you came in. So that's mm-hmm. that's what you see. You've got two doors in here, one that led you in, and one that appears to lead out.
Any secret doors popping out to us?
No secret doors popping out to you in this room.
Okay. Are you taking us?
Yeah.
Oh, team stealth. Same.
Yeah, team stealth talking at the same time. Hey.
Are you taking us to Baobab?
What? I suppose.
Okay.
I just go and try to open the door.
Okay. The door opens. And when the door opens, you can hear the crying of a small child.
Wait. This is... don't love it.
From a room, it is basically a 5-foot-wide corridor. There is a door to the right, and then across from that door, there's a bend in the hall in the opposite direction from this other door. So yeah, you can hear crying.
Does this angel person who is definitely taking us to Baobab and not death and killing, does she seem distressed by the crying? Does she seem like it's...
Oh, yeah, no, she's distressed by the crying. She goes, a baby! And she, like, goes through the door.
Okay, that's...
I'm sorry, what was your name? What was your name? I know baby crying and things, and we're, like, all distracted by demon plague and stuff, but I didn't think we got your name.
Oh, ha-ha-ha. I'm Azira. Yes. And she just, like, keeps going. Come on, hurry up.
And as you get further into this hall, you hear more children start to cry, more wailing, and it joins one at a time until you're hearing sort of this horrid, discordant wail going on, Azira.
What a horrible place.
Yes, are you new here as well?
Well, of course, I came to help you.
Oh, okay. Who sent you?
Well, I was sent by the green goddess Eldath.
Oh,
Thorsten, eh?
Hey.
With that, my ears definitely perk up. Looking at this angelic being, do I recognize, you know, maybe what she's wearing or any symbols she has on her or anything like this?
So it's up to you, Noelle. You might have the symbol of Eldath, which is like a waterfall somewhere on your person, either an item of clothing or jewelry or a tattoo or whatever you would like. Or maybe you don't. It's up to you.
I think I have it. Like I have like a long flowing cape and it is like on the whole cape.
Excellent. Yes. Yeah. So you can see
around and saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, you now that she's in the hall and there's this chorus of screaming that is very worrying to you, but it doesn't really seem to have any other effect on you, Azira. You can hear it. However, if you're still in this other room, you just hear the one baby crying.
And does Eldath have any is Eldath known to have like angels and stuff that work for her?
Yes, so you know that Eldath does occasionally have angels who do things like deliver messages, or they might bless the land in some way so that crops can grow or nature can sort of have a wilder place. There are tales of them coming down to touch tainted lands after evil has been driven off to make the land more wild and fertile for green things.
Thorsten will, with that new information, move forward, and I want to sort of make some sort of gesture and ask her, I don't know, thing that would probably be common known by worshippers of Eldath, but would maybe be harder for someone else to know, just to kind of test her to make sure she's who she says she is in this strange place.
Sure. You want to give her an Eldath trivia quiz?
Not really like a trivia quiz, just say something that would maybe elicit some sort of response.
It's like a peace be with you and also with you. Gotcha.
The secret Eldath handshake.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right. Sure. You can do that. Make a religion check.
All right.
So you know some, but that they're probably more common. Let's see how obscure we can get.
I rolled an 18 plus 10, so a 28.
A 28. So this is a very obscure, really known almost by like secret sects of Eldath. Noelle, you know the response. It's up to you whether you want to give it or not.
Yeah, I'll give the response really quickly. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is, this weird handshake. But I'm like, I'm looking behind me, and I'm like, do you not hear the crying? We have to go.
I say, yes, I'm sorry, Azira. I just, this place is so strange. I didn't expect to find someone like you here to help us.
Yes, well, Goddess works in mysterious ways.
And with that, I will, yeah, I'll go into the hallway.
Okay, great. Is everybody following at this point, or are you all staying in the other room?
Yeah. Torsten seems pleased, and I'm not getting a lying vibe off of her. I'll follow.
You are not getting a lying vibe. You're getting a very genuine vibe at the moment.
I can't believe how many obscure handshakes these kids have nowadays. I watch them form like a little rocket ship. And
Yeah,
I guess I'll go.
The waterfall.
So I will need the four of you. No. And also, at this moment, you see a rug comes off of the floor and starts to follow as Rain the monk comes in. This rug, with a symbol of Eldath actually stitched into it, is following Rain into the hallway. And so you also see that as Azira. I will need everyone who is not Azira to make me a wisdom saving throw here as the cacophony of various screams and wails from children hits your ears.
James, is this a trap?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. I hate this. It's really sad because, like, Isabel, of course, would be distressed by children crying, but I, TK, love it. Like, I'm not gonna lie. I think children crying is
about
like,
that declaration.
I'm sick, man. Give me some slack. Also, I rolled a 7, so you know, I okay. probably deserve it.
Okay.
I rolled a 30.
Okay. Wow.
Do they sound like young children? Like toddlers?
A variety.
Yes. Oh, delicious.
Torsten got a 19.
Oh my god. Okay.
Thanks to this being a trap, I got advantage, which means I rolled a natural 20, so I got a 31.
Hey! Natural 20. So that just leaves then Isabel. Isabel, would you be so kind as to roll me a D100?
I don't love this, but I guess I will. Cool. I got a 58.
A 58. Okay. I am going to send you a message.
Cool.
Here in the backstage chat.
I'm going to go ahead and assume this is somehow Rain's fault.
Fine.
This is actually, I don't know how much this is going to affect you.
Oh.
So
no.
I have sent you the message.
Oh, like. It just, okay.
Now I'm really curious.
Okay. Yeah, it probably will affect me slightly more because there is now a literal angel with us.
Yep.
So, okay. It's done.
What is it? Can't wait.
Decibel has this pause, and meanwhile, Rock is looking at Angel Lady. He's just like, so what do you use on your wings? Do you have to, like, preen them? Or because you don't have, like, claws or anything. Talk. What do you use? Yeah. They look very nice. You're keeping them very well kept.
They're okay.
Wow.
Yeah, they're very nice. Look, they're like all white and things. They're very pretty.
Azira waves her hand and she's like, it's magic, of course. Where's the baby?
So Azira.
Can I cast Detect Good and Evil?
You can cast Detect Good and Evil. So when you do.
Don't look at us, though.
Everywhere, all around.
Right. Well, good and evil helps you specifically detect the presence of fiends and undead, right?
And babies.
And fiendish babies.
Do babies count as fiends in this?
and consecrated and desecrated, I think.
You can see that you're at this bend in the hall now, and you can see the bend in the hall also ends in a door. So you've got two doors. The door to the north of you, you can sense many undead and fiends inside. The door to the south, you can sense that there is a fiend in there, but it is also weirdly consecrated ground. It is holy ground, as well as there being a fiend inside of it.
What do I see when I look at the party?
Great question. So they're all generally pretty good, you know.
Okay.
Just an amorphous gray blob of a rain.
I would say that, Torsten and Rock shine brightly, and there's like a muted kind of nightlight level from Rain and Ezabel.
It's not like a dark, evil vibe.
No.
But it's definitely a back pew Baptist vibe.
that's a great way to put it, honestly.
I would say if Azira looks towards Ezabel with like a scrutinizing look, Ezabel will interpret that as sizing up and will immediately go into know your enemy, like sizing her up as well.
Oh, sure.
Oh, okay. So yes. So while you're watching her, you learn that she has a strength, dexterity, and constitution of 18, an armor class of 17, and 136 hit points.
Yeah.
No and levels really, of fighter.
And really nice wings.
And really nice wings.
They're just huge and great.
They're okay.
Oh, man. Powerful.
And they fold up perfectly.
They're magic. Like, they're not real like yours. Rock.
The wings aren't magic. The wing care is magic.
Right.
Listen,
magic, technically, you know. Maybe
no, I mean, if I had magic, I would, you know, because sometimes getting behind in, like, the spot right between your shoulders really. Oh, no, babies. Sorry, babies.
With your incredible passive perception,
yes,
you
hi.
Notice that, like, as you're moving through this hall and kicking up dust and stuff, it just doesn't stick at all to Azira. It sticks to the rest of you, but, it's like dirt and grime cannot touch this being.
I look over at Torsten and I say, no, is that because she is like magic or she is angel person? And I'll point to the dust.
It's probably a little column A, little column B.
Are there more babies crying from the north or are there more babies crying from the other door?
There are just babies crying everywhere, Rock. It sounds like they're right here in the room.
Mm. Oh, this is loud. Invisible baby. No, if they're visible, I know that they're there. I'm sorry. Where are these babies?
So I'm going to report what I sensed, that in the north, there's like a ton of undead, as you said.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the south, there's just one fiend in consecrated ground. And then I'm just like wide-eyed. I'm like, what should we do?
Is there any difference between the two doors?
There is not. Both are sort of the same stone door that you've been seeing throughout the Demon Plague dungeon.
Are you new here, Azira? There's undead everywhere. Everything is undead here. So did you wake up from a dream and end up here or something?
Like... Didn't Eldath give you like a one sheet for this? Come on.
Seems incredibly naive. We should probably just leave her.
You're here to help us? Did Eldath send you to help us?
Of course. I already told you that.
Oh. Eldath was just like, here you go, just do what you can, or what?
Right.
No additional information?
Listen, Eldath may have had a long weekend at D&D Live and sent an email in the Uber on his way home last night.
Listen, even Eldath gets con crud.
I'm going to take this as a personal attack.
Well, I think the sanctified ground sounds more interesting than more undead.
Okay.
So I'll go, Rock, you want to check out that door, do your thing there?
Doing my thing. I will check the door for traps, check the door for locks, check the door for funness.
Yeah, just because we're surrounded by undead doesn't mean we're in danger necessarily. Hello, good morn to you, fair traveler. That's my innkeeper voice. Very similar to my normal voice, but it's all in the attitude. Yes. Hey, thank you as always to BattleBards and TabletopMusic.com for providing some of the music and sound effects in this episode. I have a review that I would be so happy to read from Apple Podcasts from Average Joe 37. Fun and goofy, but it's not all yucks. The cast has a great chemistry, and the DM keeps the narrative flowing. This is a very fun story, and the characters are hilarious, but the overall tone is still ominous. Wonderful show, great job to everyone, especially our wonderful editing boy, Rudy. Aww, and you spelled boy, B-O-I. My favorite way of spelling that word. A superior way, one might argue. Thank you so much. If you would be like Average Joe and hop onto Apple Podcasts and leave a review, I will read it. It would be so kind of you and so helpful to me and the rest of the cast. Also, update, Lauren Urban, who plays Rock on this show, is no longer Oboe Crazy on Twitter. She is now Oboe Lauren. So if you want to follow her, go there, Oboe Lauren. Okay, that's going to do it for me. I will see you, or you will hear me. I will not hear you. You will hear me next week. Bye.
And Rock, are you going to do a quick check or like a thorough check here?
Always a thorough check. Always. Right. Unless I say otherwise, always a check.
Isabel, this is taking a long time. This thorough check.
It always takes a long time. Mm-hmm. But this is, I don't know if she's trying to impress this angel or she's just, you know how Rock is. She just forgets what we're doing sometimes. Just move out of the way. I'll do it. Just,
no, I'm almost done.
Just let me break it or something. Please, God.
And Sarah's like really interested in what you guys are doing. She has her little hands behind her back and she's like, ooh.
I'm like in the middle of checking the bottom of the door and I try to bat Isabel away with one of my wings. I'm like, no, it's almost done.
God.
Do you want to get stuck in another room? Because the last time I got stuck in the room. No, I'm
yes,
not
you did. Room. The person who was supposed to be in charge of traps, please.
Yes, and so I'm being careful this time. Stop. Do you want me to roll... James, or should I?
We'll call this sort of taking 20, as it were. Okay. Everybody, inspiration across the board right now for all people. So everyone's got inspiration. As Rock, you see there are no traps on this door, and you are able to open it up. And when you open it up, you can see that this looks like a little temple. There are three rows of stone benches set side by side. At the north end of the room, which is actually where you're entering, you can see there's a large altar that holds many burning candles. And you can see also that there, sitting in front of the altar on one of these benches, is a devil with yellow skin and giant curving horns. And they look like they are in prayer as you come into this place.
Do I see any holy symbols indicating what kind of...
So right now you are what you think is probably behind the altar. You might be able to see it if you came around to the other side of the altar.
Brain talk real fast. You're not in this.
Oh yeah, that's still up, isn't it? Okay, so I have just described...
So
I like
good news. If you want to, this is sort of a jury rig of the rules, but... Oh. If you want to, our angel friend is telepathic.
Yeah.
And could be part of your brain talk if you want.
I don't want to include her in this moment. I want to say.
Okay.
If I'm telepathic, can I force my way into the brain talk?
You can force your way into each individual's brain, but you can't necessarily intercept the talk between them. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. And if I see them all staring at each other and being silent, I will start doing it.
I think we're subtle enough at this point that we're not literally staring at each other.
Well, when I'm doing it, so when I stick my head in and take a look around, I'm doing the running commentary of basically just repeating everything that the guy in my head just said the room looks like. So
it's mainly a question, and mostly at Torsten, will this angel attack undead immediately because she's an angel of Eldath and hates undead real bad? Like, are we gonna see a throwdown happening right now?
I don't know.
All right then.
When we go into the brain talk, there's like, I don't want to say a busy signal, but like there's a not accepting your calls signal from Isabel.
Oh no.
As she has dropped the psychic connection.
Is Isabel crazy again? No. Cast restoration on her.
Right? Yeah. Just after that, after Isabel kind of jumping in on Rock, which I don't think we've really seen her do before, and then now this dropped link, I kind of want to examine Isabel, you know, kind of from afar. Not like up in her business, but I just want to kind of look at her and things seem strange with her.
Make a insight check,
I guess.
I love how Torsten is smart enough to
make a deception check if you want.
I don't think I'm being deceptive because from what you set me, it's not something that I would need to be deceitful about.
You're staring at her, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So you hear Zira's voice in your head saying, "What are you doing?"
So I got a 20, so that's 28. So I rolled a natural 20.
We will say that while you are checking out Isabel, you know what I will let you, TK, answer what Torsten notices about Ezabel.
I would say Ezabel's demeanor is mostly the same, except that she appears more impatient.
Mm-hmm.
She's more impatient. She's more aggressive. She's ready to just get this the fuck over with. She's fucking tired, man.
I will look to Azira when she asks, what did you just ask? Sorry.
I said, what are you doing?
Oh, I say,
can you answer telepathically okay. Or whatever you want.
Yeah, yeah.
I say, my friend seems a little strange. This place has altered us before when we've stepped into rooms. I was going to ask for Eldath's restoration upon her. Can you do such a thing? I was going to cast a lesser restoration on her.
Yeah, Azira shrugs and touches her and tries.
Okay, so you know what? This is what we're going to say. You touch Ezabel and you can notice that. So first of all, Ezabel, you see this angel coming at you with a touch. Let's start there.
If she puts her hand on Ezabel, Ezabel will try to put her in an arm lock, like put her in an arm bar.
Okay, cool. Make a strength athletics check.
My expertise on athletics.
And Zira, if you want, you can make a strength athletics or a dexterity acrobatics, which look like they're the same for you. So
I get a plus 16 and I rolled a 19.
Cool. Oh,
that beats what I had.
Okay, so yeah, you put this angel in an arm lock. However, you are still touching her now, right? Because you're in this arm lock. Mm-hmm. And you're able to tell something has magically affected Ezabel in some way. Okay. But you also can tell this is a condition that will require more than a lesser restoration spell.
Okay. Would you call it a curse, disease, poison, blindness, or deafness?
Yeah. You know what? I would probably call it a curse.
Okay. So then I'm going to use healing touch.
Ezabel, as you feel this magic wash over you as you put this angel in an arm lock, and the thing that I sent you is gone.
Oh, okay. I choose to say that.
And by the way, when you put Azira in the arm lock, she starts like laughing and she's like, ha, mortals have such funny customs.
God, Ezabel would be so fucking mad.
I don't know how much is about this thing.
However, the healing touch has like softened a lot of the edges of it. I'm not going to lie, the flaw remains, but it's not as aggressive. And she still thinks that she is the smartest, wisest, strongest, fastest, and most beautiful person she knows.
So that was the flaw that Ezabel gained. Yeah.
But I partnered it with my other flaw, which is I tend to fight before I think.
Yes. So yeah, you feel this magic watch over. You, Rock, are watching sort of through the crack in the door. And as that laugh happens, two things happen. One is the laughter of Azira drowns out the screaming of children that was going on in this hall. And it just stops.
Oh, I hate it.
Oh, it's so much nicer.
And as that stops, you notice the devil in prayer look up towards the door, which you have cracked as you're peering in there. Make a stealth check.
That'd be another natural 20.
Oh my gosh.
I almost feel bad, but it's technically give me a 31 in my stealth, if that helps.
Yeah, so he looks up at the door curiously, but he doesn't notice that it's cracked or the bird eye that's looking through it all. And the devil shakes his head and goes back into prayer as this is going on. So the crying in this hall has stopped. Ezabel is no longer mad. And now... Yeah.
She takes the armbar off. She's like, whoop.
Yes, your arm is free, Azira. What would you all like to do?
Are we going in here? Like, I think the devil thinks that there's something weird going on, but he hasn't noticed us yet.
You're saying that in the brain connection?
Ezabel, have you rejoined the call at this point?
I don't think Ezabel can rejoin the call. I think it has to be initiated by someone else. So
then in that case, Rock would whisper it. So that I don't think, stage whisper.
The devil!
Oh. So, yeah, based off of what Rain had said before, I'll turn to Azir, and I say, there are, I don't know the politics, I guess, between you and devils. There are many, many undead and devils here, and it's not something that I have enjoyed seeing, but we have had to deal with them on more.
I'm ready to deal with them, I say.
well, and by deal with them, I mean we've had to talk with them and make deals with them, try to get what we want. Otherwise, we would have to fight all of them.
They used to be people, and then they got turned into this stuff. So they weren't like originally demons and devils and things.
So Azira, you would know that what Rock is describing is the way all demons and devils and undead are made. They all at one point were mortals.
Yes.
Rock doesn't know that though.
Demons.
Yeah. Sure.
Devils, go on.
But more, it just seems rather pointless. If we kill them, they come back within 30 days. So we don't want to risk ourselves failing by just fighting all of these things for no reason.
Also, they have lots of good information.
Well, I can't make any promises, but I'll take this under advisement.
Should I knock?
That would be polite.
Rock will knock. Like, open, like, do that thing where you open the door and are knocking on it at the same time. Hello? Sorry to interrupt.
You knock, and you see this devil stands up kind of abruptly and bamfs a pitchfork into its hands, but is just sort of wary, is not rushing the door or anything, and looks at you as you come in.
Are you Baobab? I say.
The horned devil shakes his head and he says, are you with Elegree's people?
No.
We're kind of free.
When you say no, he levels the pitchfork.
Yes.
Zira jumps into the room with her mace raised and says, we're ready to make a deal.
He falls back when this angel comes in and sort of takes note of the formidable force that you are. And Azira, when you jump in front of the devil, you know you're now in front of the altar too. And you see the altar has a symbol of Eldath on its front.
That's nice.
Interesting. I point at the altar and I point to the devil and I'm like, what's this all about?
Some shifty business.
And the devil says, well, in life, my name was Ispiril.
Oh! I point at Torsten.
I thought Ispiril died of a heart attack. What happened?
He died under mysterious circumstances.
Yeah. Mystery.
Yeah, remember we were in prison at the time? Yeah, we all part so that Torsten is just standing there.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, Torsten will kind of step forward, kind of looking, are there any signs of the person I knew here?
So, yes, when you look at this devil, well, they are like a giant great horned devil with fangs. Some of the features, the nose, the eyes, and sort of the construction of the body look similar to Ispiril to you, as if Ispiril were turned into a giant devil action figure almost. But, you know, like when they turn Mark Ruffalo into the Hulk and you're like, I can tell that's kind of Mark Ruffalo in there, but it's also the Hulk. That's what it looks like. And when the people part to reveal you, this devil's fork clatters to the ground and they begin to walk towards you. They actually push by the angel on their way to get to you, Torsten, and try to embrace you.
Oh.
So seeing that I recognize, I will kind of somewhat hesitantly, but also like, I guess probably once I feel like I'm sure that this is Ispiril, I will hug him.
Yeah, and he will hug you back and say, you're really doing it. I knew you would do it. And turns to all of you and says, I heard that there were adventurers here seeking to destroy Zancrown, and I hoped it was all of you. And then seeing the angel, he then gets down on his knees and says, forgive me, great one. I did not realize that I was in the presence of a servant of Eldath.
you're fine.
I say, we have just met Azira. She was sent by Eldath, but not given much more information on how to help us. So,
I turn to Torsten and I say, why didn't you react that way when we met? Is that how you're supposed to?
Anyway. I kind of look embarrassed.
I think everybody's embarrassed for everybody at this point.
I'm not embarrassed. No, I'm very proud of everything that I've done. About anything,
so. Oh. See, well, honestly, I wasn't sure if you were really, I just didn't know. As I said, this place is strange.
Indeed, this place is quite strange. Look at me. And he sort of motions to his devilish form and says, this place, this little room here is my domain, hence the look of it all and the shrine to our goddess. But there is a problem.
There's a lot of problems.
Some people, forces belonging to another devil named Elegri, came through several secret entrances. Whoops. On their way here, they are meeting at the moment with Baobab, and apparently there is some confusion. Elegri thought you were working with her, but now believes you might be trying to kill her on behalf of one of the other factions in here.
We're trying to gather information. Yes, it's quite convoluted.
She's been listening in on our conversations, and there were other people who want her dead, and we were just like entertaining conversation, and then talked afterwards about how, no, we don't want to kill her, and then went to talk to other people who didn't want to kill her, but then knew that she was listening in. It was very confusing.
Yes, it seems she's very confused. She didn't call for your heads outright, but she is, well... If nothing else, she knows that the other factions do not desire peace at all. It has made us, frankly, wary about joining with her. We just want peace while we're here. We just want to make sure everything is fine. And if it were up to me, I would open Zancrown's cell right now and get you away from this mess so that I could move on. But alas, the key is not in my control.
Oh, how does Baobab think about things? Is she... Would she be amenable to giving us the key? We were old pals, right? Us and Baobab. She remembers us fondly, no doubt. Maybe speaks often of us.
Well, I don't think she holds any grudge about you killing her, so that's good, right?
How do you know that?
I speak fondly of you, too.
Oh, okay.
When I heard about these adventurers, I suggested it might be you. Such is the way of things here.
So wait, is everyone who died in Tomar's Crossing here? Like, anyone who died is here? Or
only select few are pulled. Those considered worthy to serve in the dungeon.
Oh, good job. Congrats, I guess.
Kind of good.
He, like, looks at his devil body and looks back at you and says... Thanks, I guess.
So wait, they're meeting like now?
Yes.
Oh, we should just go. We should just go talk to both of them. We should just like get it all out now while they're here.
Sure, yeah.
I agree. Yeah.
I wonder if we killed Bajelan, he would be down here. Then we could have killed him again.
He is not worthy for anything.
Yeah.
Can you take us to where they're meeting and not where all the babies are screaming?
Yes, that's, I'm afraid there are no actual babies. That's just a strange illusion set up by the dungeon.
No, that's good. We didn't actually want any screaming babies. That's just...
I guess that's true. I'm relieved to report.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're afraid?
This devilish form, it's, you know, made me desire some darker things occasionally. Not really dark, you know, but just like fantasy. Anyway, it's a thing. Don't yuck my yum.
I'm sorry, are you Tim Curry from Legend now?
Oh. Good reference.
Yeah, we should go. We should go talk to all of them and clear everything up, and maybe they've got some ideas, because this is all turning into, like, everyone just wants to kill each other. Yeah. We just want to go kill the guy.
Yeah.
Before we go, can I quick, like, pray to Eldath and, like, report back really fast?
You can, yes.
Okay, I'm going to, like... Just like while they're going, I'm like, and I fold my little hands, and I think really, really hard. Eldath, I think it's all gonna be fine. They're so cool and they're so smart and they're really gonna help. You don't need to do the thing. I really don't think you need to do the thing.
Are you saying that out loud?
No, I'm saying it in my head.
Oh, God.
She's saying it into her fantasy Apple Watch.
Oh, no.
Are we in on this call? No.
I don't think so.
Private call.
Okay, wait. I'll ask because can I read her face at all to see, like, what this prayer is about? Is she just praying, or is this report back include that you don't have to do the thing and I notice some odd?
I guess make an insight check and you can make a deception check.
Everything is fine. This is fine.
It's a lot of the party trying to figure out each other's motivations this episode.
I got a dirty 30.
Well, you know what? I got a 7. So.
What do you think your face looks like in prayer?
Just like really like screwed up, like distraught. She's making like just cool it gestures to the altar.
So yeah, you don't know the exact nature of the conversation, Rock, but you can tell that this is something that Azira wants to keep private. It is about you, you know, all of you in that sense.
I will wait for her to finish.
Okay. I'm
done. Very respectful.
As soon as she stands up and seems like she's done, I'm going to go, so what did you tell Eldeth about us? You looked really like constipated.
As an angel, that's not a problem for me, but.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, thank you. I just told Eldeth that you're all very capable and Eldeth shouldn't need to send any more interference than just me. Cause after all, I'm here to help.
The interference? You're not interfering. You said you're here to help. Why would he send interference?
I think we should hurry up and get a key.
Agreed.
Okay.
Are we on like a timetable from Eldeth now? This is weird. Okay. She'll kind of let the rest of that slide, but keep a closer eye on Azira.
Rock, while this conversation is happening, you notice, and Rain, you actually notice this too, because you have a very high passive perception.
I do.
There are a couple of hidden drawers carved into the altar.
Ooh. Yeah. I want to
open. See, they're carved into the front of the altar there. In addition, there is one other door here that leads out a different way. No secret doors.
Ispril, do you know about the hidden drawers in the altar? I pointed them.
Ispril says, I did not know.
Go open one.
Oh, wait. Well, if you didn't open, hold on a second. Then Rock will go and do her thing.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's good. Locked? Yeah, if you check and see if they're trapped, then that's fine. I was going to make him do it, but... Old friend?
They are not trapped.
Cool. Okay. Let's open them. There's probably cool stuff in them, right?
Okay. When you open these, you find that there is, in both of them, there are small pouches. One pouch contains ruby dust, and the other one contains diamond dust.
Oh, so can we use these for, I don't know, they're here, Torsten, they're probably reagents, right, for magics? Maybe?
Yes.
Is it enough to resurrect someone? Or dust is...
It would be enough to cast Revivify.
Oh, okay. That's a good thing to have.
I wonder why these were here.
Give some Eldeth.
Hiding in drawers.
Hiding in drawers. Classic hiding spot.
I can revive.
Just like Eldeth.
Hiding in drawers?
Just like Eldeth.
That's what happens when you go to like a Luna Valley motel and you see a little scroll of Eldeth in the...
Just typical.